this message or this discussions or this series for this month with what I title Destined to Reign. Destined to Reign. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, we shall reign on the earth." The Bible says we shall reign in heaven. Where? On the earth. He has made us kings and priests to our God. Ephesians chapter 1. While we're there, let's go. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. We're going to read this again, but verse 19 to 21. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the," underline the word "dead," if your Bible can underline or highlight in your stuff, "he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places." So the Father is the King. Jesus is the King. And the scripture then says he has made us kings and priests unto our God. And so at that same juncture, he said that we're seated with him. He said Jesus Christ is seated with the Father at his right hand in heavenly places. We know that. And then in verse 21, it says, "Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come." So in other words, Jesus is in heaven, and he's with his Father right there on the throne, and then, because he's seated him in heaven places, and give him authority over every principality, and every power, and might, and dominion. Which means a king has got reign over all of them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. And just before we go to 7, let's go back to verse 4. We're going to go to from 4 to 7. From 4 says, "But God who is rich," 2, verse 4. "But God who is rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved, who? Us. Verse 5 says, "Even when we were," underline the word, "dead." Even when we were dead in trespasses. Remember when Jesus was dead, the scripture says that he raised him up, right? "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us" what? "Alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved." And verse 6 says, "And raised us up together and made us sit together" in where? "Heavenly places" in where? "In Christ Jesus." So in Christ Jesus, we're sitting in heavenly places. So don't think because you're a person that you're already sitting there. Only in Christ Jesus do you have that authority to be seated in heavenly places with him. In other words, where Jesus is, in him is the authority he has over principalities and powers. And let's go to verse 8, just maybe we can see what he says there. I think verse 8 is something. "For by grace you've been saved unto faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Every authority that Jesus had there in Christ, being seated in Christ, you and I have the same authority. Are you with me? So in Christ, say together with me, in Christ, I have authority over principalities, over power and might and dominion and every name that stands against the purpose of God for my life. Let's say that one more time. In Christ, I have authority over principality, over power, over dominion and every name that stands against God's purpose in my life. Now, you know, one thing I would say this, and you would hear me say is this. We don't understand, or we don't, let me put it this way. The shortest distance is between your head and your mind. The shortest distance is between the head and the mind, but it is the longest journey in life. Ah, I'll explain. They can do a heart. People think your mind is in your heart. That's not. Your mind is here. They can do a heart transplant, and the person will still be himself. The day you do a brain transplant, he cannot be himself. So your heart, your mind is not. I know this is the physical heart, but your mind is not here. Your mind is here. And where's the head? Here. So the head and the mind are where? There. So the shortest distance is here. In other words, what you read and what you know is very easy. They happen in the same place. Are you with me? But that's the longest journey you would ever take. What do I mean by that? Just because you know doesn't mean you do. Many of us know, but we don't do. The Bible says you are in authority. But how many people truly know that? How many people are walking in that authority? How many people are doing and living that authority? You see the gap there, right? What you know is the shortest distance. But the longest journey you'd ever have to take is taking what you know and put into practice. For that is where enthronement comes in. I can tell you everything you can know, but if you don't take that step of a journey in life, you would always have that gap to go to. But that's not your portion. Because guess what? Now that you know that the shortest distance is there, and now you know that you've got to go on that journey, how many people are going to start that journey? Hallelujah. So in the season of enthronement, you have authority seated in Christ to reign. You know, there's nothing that will, nothing else that will cause a believer, there's nothing else God has given a believer but to reign in authority than his position. Our position in Christ is what allows us to reign. And so if you're waiting for someone to give you a throne, that's not the way it works. He has given you your position in Christ, and that is the beginning of you what? Reigning in Christ. Is somebody with me this morning? So, are you ready to reign? What does it mean to reign? What I want to do this morning is focus on, I want to start this message or this series looking at some truths, some to reflect the foundation of success. Foundation of winning, foundation of reigning, some truths. I want to establish some truths. If I can get these truths, if you can get these truths, nothing will stop you. If you can understand this truth, nothing will stop you. The truths will redefine your understanding of what it means to win with God. And the truth will redefine your ability to be successful. See, this truth will bridge the gap between a believer and a reigning believer. I want to establish the truth. Say with me, the truths. It will put success in the right perspective. It explains the foundation on which we all stand and be assured that you will build a successful life. What are these truths? This truth, if we can take that journey from the head to the heart, you will begin to reign as one who has been enthroned by God. The truths. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 17. The foundational truth is in the scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I want us to read it together. I'm going to what I call treach this morning. Treach means I'm going to teach and preach. Okay, so you have to extract a whole lot out of what I'm saying. Yeah, we're going to do it together. Amen. We're going to get right depth into the depth of the word. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Can you read that with me? 1, 2, go. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. You know why I love the scripture and why I like to read the scripture? I like to read the scripture because I cannot change you. The word can change you. Anyone can preach anything. Anyone can have a good message. But if it's not written in the word, then it makes no difference. So we said earlier, the Bible says he has made us what? Kings and priests unto our what? Unto our God, right? And we shall reign where? On earth. We just read in the scripture where he has put us in positions, authority, so that in Christ Jesus, we have authority over things on earth. And the scripture says, please don't take it away. I love it. I love the word of God. Don't take it away. Thank you. The scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says that if for by the one man's offense, and everyone knows that one man's offense is, was Adam's offense, death reigned through one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will what? Reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So again, it's talking about we're reigning through Jesus Christ. Now, there are two things here that relate to God. There are two things here that relate to man. The first one that relates to God is the fact that you have abundance, you have received abundance of grace. Abundance, say with me, abundance of grace. So when you look at the scripture, because I'm going to spend some time in the scripture, and I know they have to display for the people out at home and for you here. So I'm going to just open my Bible. Good thing I have this Bible here. If it would just work, cooperate with me. Okay. And this is where I can't put my thumb in my mouth. Okay. It says, sin reigned, by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign. Now, here's the scripture. If you are a believer, grace has been given unto you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved unto, for by grace you've been saved, for by, go back, Ephesians chapter 2, verse, I don't want to misquote the word, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not that, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So if you believe in God, if you love God, if you know God personally, if you give your life to God, you have been given, you have been saved by grace. You know, and I believe in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, Peter was saying, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So because we receive abundance of grace, that's not something we do for ourselves. That's something that we believe that God has already given to us. So under the foundation of truth, couple of things I want you to know that God has given you. He has given you what? Grace. Are you saved? Because that grace is what saved you. And so if you're saved by grace, he has given you grace. And it says, those of us who receive abundance of grace are those who will what? Reign. How many people have abundance of grace? Okay, so we have abundance of grace. So don't tell me I can't do it. Because when Paul said that, God said to him, my what? Grace is what? Sufficient for you. When God puts something in your heart, when you realize that you're feeling down, don't tell me what. I can't do it. Why? Because grace has been given to you. We just have to tap. This is where I go by the shortest distance and the longest journey. We have to tap. Many of you know that. You know, we know that we're going through. We know where we need. And you know, I was sharing with someone yesterday, and she was explaining to me some deep truths. And she said something. She goes, when we are down is when God is closest to us. And you know what? We don't even see it. And that's the moment we don't see it because we're consumed by what we're facing, right? But that's the truth. Isn't that true? That when we're down, when we feel like it can't go on, that's when God shows up and he's right there. But imagine you're in the middle of it's like someone sitting in the middle of who's in a desert and finds an oasis in a desert and does nothing about it. Grace has been given to you. When you think you cannot make it, grace has been poured out to you. See, grace can be increased. Grace can be in abundance. So when you feel like, well, this grace is here, every day God bestows grace upon us. So our job is to swim in the abundance of that grace. But you don't supply that grace. The second one here is this. It says what? The grace, the abundance, who receive abundance of grace, may you receive abundance of grace in Jesus then. And the gift of righteousness. Wow. Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now, do you understand? I'm going to move quickly with this one. The gift of righteousness is just tells us, helps me understand that, you know, when we read in book, it says, for by grace you have been saved unto faith. It's not of your works, but it's a gift of God. The gift of righteousness tells us that we have been saved by grace, which means we have been made righteous because of God. That's something else you never provide for yourself again. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift from God. And because righteousness is a gift from God, hear this so clearly. You can never grow in righteousness. You can never grow in righteousness. I know that's like, well, the scripture has no place where it says grow in righteousness. You grow in righteousness. Because growing righteousness means there's something that, you know, since you grow in faith, read the word. But righteousness, you don't grow. That's why somebody can be a believer for 80 years, 70 years, right? And someone can be born again today, and they have the same right standing in God. Their maturity in God might be different, but God sees them the same way. There's no special one because you've been Christian for 17 years. You see, your righteousness is perfect and is finished. So that when you get to heaven, there's no other need for a cleansing. This same righteousness here is what comes in when you get to heaven. There's no extra righteousness to get to heaven. Are you with me? Righteousness is a gift. God gave it to us. So don't try to earn, or don't try to be righteous. Don't try to force righteousness, because you cannot make yourself right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things have been passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become new. Now, it's not that something, just, it's not that you're different, they give birth to you again. It just means you're new. You've been born again. It's where the word born again means you've been born anew. So if you're in Christ, all things have been passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In other words, what righteousness is that you're in a right standing with God. And right standing with God had nothing to do with you, but just your ability to surrender. And so when you're right standing with God, what Jesus already paid the price for your righteousness. He paid it on the cross. He has nothing to do with you, but has everything to do with him. So he has justified you, so don't look down on yourself. I want to establish the foundational truth in this. Someone with me this morning. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says that, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and what? Washed us from our sins in his own blood. You cannot remove your own sin. You cannot stand your own righteousness. You cannot create your own righteousness. God creates the righteousness for you. Is someone with me this morning? And so if I know God creates my righteousness, and the only thing I have to do is ask for that forgiveness. Now, because I've been made right, does that mean I have to continue in sin? The Bible says that what? So you continue in sin so that this grace can abound, right? It says, no, God forbid. So abounding grace requires you to stay in right standing with God. Remember I said stay, not to get, because God gives you that right standing, but to make sure you live your life without sin. But what happens when you sin? Sin is missing the mark. When you sin, let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. If I miss it
and I ask for forgiveness, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 1, 2 verse 1 is what I want you to go, please, if you don't mind. But 1 John chapter 1, verse, I think, 8 and 9, it says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to come back in 1 second. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may what? Not sin. And if anyone what? Sins, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So he's saying, yes, you're going to be, I made you right, but don't sin. But if you sin, that's not the end of the world. There's already a father there that's saying, an advocate in Jesus that says, here's my son, and he's repented, so let's forgive him. Now, if we go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, I told you I was going to be preaching today, so it's going to be a lot of scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, you realize it says, if we confess our sins, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, right? So it's one thing for you to know that you've sinned. Now, if you sin, just ask for forgiveness, okay? And verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here's the thing. If I confess my sins and he forgives me my sins, there's a tendency for me to still feel condemned. Right? How many people have confessed the same sin many, many times? Okay? Welcome to the world, me. Right? You say, you're not sure and say, God, forgive me. And then you go, you remember that sin again, God forgive me. And then you go, remember that sin again, God forgive me. And you say the same thing, like, but, and I catch myself, but I know you forgive me for that one. What am I feeling right now? If it's because you have not forgiven me now, right? So you're here rationalizing and trying to help God see that. But God says, if you confess your sins, what? He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. But you see, he doesn't stop there. The moment you forgive your sins, the moment you confess your sins, he forgives your sins. But here's what God wants to do. He removes the condemnation and says, and cleanses you, what? From what? All unrighteousness. In other words, when you confess your sins, he not only removes the sins, he makes you such a right standing, like as if nothing happened in the presence in the first place. So nothing should hinder a believer from reigning because of their own belief that they don't qualify. Are you with me? It should never be said that you don't reign because you don't qualify. Because he has made you right. The only thing that brings the sin back is the devil. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that says, you know what? I know what you did last summer. I know what you did yesterday. I know what you did 17 years ago, and you have not forgiven yourself, even though your father has made you right. There is no person, there's no way your father can put an unstable person on the throne. Because you have self-condemnation, you will only rule and reign according to your understanding of your position. Your father can't put an unstable person on the throne. If you want to reign in life, again, I said foundational truth, you have to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, because that's what makes you operate in the place of authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to have an inferiority complex. Once you're cleansed, you're cleansed. Once you're free, you're free. For sin shall not have dominion over me anymore. For what? I'm not under what? Law, but I'm under what? Grace. So we see this abundance of grace and what? The gift of righteousness. God has prepared everything. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 Peter chapter 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through us, the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. Here's what I think. Here's what I believe. God has done his part. He restored you to where he was before. And remember in the Genesis, it says he's given us everything. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says, let us create man in our own image, let them have dominion over. He's given us dominion, so he's restored us back into the place, and that's what righteousness does. God has restored us back to the place. He's done his own part. Let me ask you a question. Why aren't you reigning? Why aren't we reigning? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. I hope we have put some knowledge and conceived some knowledge right now in our mind, our heads. I hope it's gotten to our minds, right? And you and me have to do what? Start reigning. We have to start the journey. We have to start the journey. Let me say that one more time. The shortest distance is between the head and the mind. Yet it's the longest journey you'd ever have to take. It's easy for you to come to the church and listen to the Word of God, and we can hear the Word of God. But what is the Word of God doing when you leave church? How are you reigning when you leave church? Why do I want to make this a foundational thing? Because I can tell you the secret of success all day long. But if you don't understand this, the foundations, then we'll just hear it as one of other things. Why can't you go to a motivational speaker who would just tell you, you know, secret of success and just stay there, and we just follow that? And why come to church? Because you are believers and God has given you abundance of grace. So when you get motivated, and it's like cough syrup, right? It's like when you, or syrup, or medication. You get motivated, and then the moment you see another problem, you look for the next motivation. That's what makes people keep going to the next motivation of the motivation. But when the motivation comes from the inside of you, it doesn't matter what you face in front of you, God will give you the answer. And that's the difference between you and the rest of the world. God has given you abundance of grace and what? The gift of righteousness. Then, what are the responsibilities we have to do? So that part I said divided into four. Two is for us, is for God, and two is us. So let's go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, and the second part of it. It says that, more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign. Now watch this. Those who receive, let's forget what they receive for a moment, will reign. The first thing I want you to understand is Christ is not reigning for you. You are reigning in Christ. I know that seems very, very straightforward, at least so we think, right? Christ is not the one reigning. You are reigning through Christ. Christ is not reigning through you. That what we do as believers, we wait for Jesus to do that. God says, take a step. The scripture, you know what to do. You don't do it because you're praying to God to show you what to do. I wonder if when you're eating your food, you pray to God, show me how to eat. Rather, we say, thank you for this food that I've worked and you've allowed me to bring this food here. I don't know if you pray to show me where to go to groceries. You see, the normal things that are in the place of convenience, we do it without thinking and involving God. How much more in the place of reigning as a child of God? We expect that because you go to grocery, well, you know what? You know, Christian, you have to always trust God and believe God. What is that thing he wants us to do? I agree with you. But once you know it, I want you to walk to the door. And you have to go, when do you want me to really walk the door? Now, okay, how do you want me to really walk to the door? The same way you've been walking. Okay, God, who should I see on the way to walk to the door? You just walk. What else are you waiting for? You have legs. You have arms. Walk. And believers find themselves getting to this rot of cyclical place in one place. I never saw Jesus just, he received and he moved. He just received and he moved. I mean, he was going from cities to cities faster than you and I can go from one shopping mall to another shopping mall. He was just going. And you know when John chapter 4, 9 verse 4, it says, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it's still day, for the night come when no man can walk. That's a person on a mission. You reign. Christ cannot reign for you. He has done his own reigning, wherefore God has so highly exalted him and given him a name that is above other name. He had his own mission. He completed his own mission. He did. He says, as I hear my Father, I do. He didn't say, as I hear my Father, he helps me do. He says, as I hear my Father, who does? I do. I do. I do. Some of us want that you want a mosaic experience. You want the bush to be burning. Let me give you news flash. Bush will not burn. Because what? We're in the dispensation of grace. We're in the dispensation of his righteousness. Moses did not have that. And so there had to be a way for cleansing. We're waiting for the same way God said it to how many bush burned for Jesus to know his assignment? How many things happened when Jesus knew what he needed to do? He says, I know what my Father, I know the will of my Father, and I must do it. You know, Scripture says that we will know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For what? To wait to hear it again. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I find myself in this. So I'm not just saying at you. I find myself in this many times. When I know that this is what God will, and you know, the truth about it is sometimes it just takes his peace to do that. You want to do something, God says, and you say, God, if you're not here, let me know. I says, no, I'm in it. And you walk. Just take a step. There's nobody who's going to reign on your behalf. Nobody's going to reign for you. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 says, you've been given authority to trample over snakes and scorpions. You and me have that authority. You and me have the ability. You and me can reign. We don't have to wait for somebody or wait for a specific sound to reign. God has created us to reign. You don't go to work and start saying, okay, I've told you you've been hired to dust this place and come there and wait for them and say, please tell me what to do. You'll be blessed if you have the job tomorrow. You don't get down standing and say, Lord God, show me exactly what I need to do. They look at the things you do. So I'm not saying God is not, God has done it. He has given you this world. He says, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So any opportunity you see is a great opportunity that you have to either explore, get the clarification from God to explore. And once you get it, go. Go. Go for it. I'm looking for people who will break barriers in the life, in the jobs, in the marriages, in the careers, in the businesses. Go for it. Go beyond where you've been. Take another step. Some of us, the last day we graduated was the last book we read. Like, phew, no exam. Glory to God. I have spent more money buying books this year than any other year in my life. I still bought 3 books last night than any year in my life. I finished reading another book yesterday. The average millionaire reads a book a month. When was the last time you read a book? And we want to reign. He has given all things. And I'm not, you read the Word of God, it opens your eyes, you know the right book to read, you read the book. Deacon Bard has always said over and over again that he who does not read, he who does, who will, how do you say it? He who does not read has no advantage over him who cannot read. It's right there, we don't read it. And we want the success. You see, people of God, we got to step up. Say to your neighbor, say, step up. So you can't be where you've always been. Don't be afraid. Tell them to their face. That's exactly what's going to challenge. Say, you can't be where you've always been. I can't say to them at home, yes, look at the husband and tell him, you can't be where you've always been. And look at the wife and tell her the same thing. You can't be where you've always been. You are called to reign. Reign. If we go through a series this month and nobody, and we don't start to see new businesses arrive, we don't start to see new levels, start to see new promotions or new bold steps out of a place of normalcy, then we have still yet to take the journey from the head to what? To mind. The head and the mind know what they're talking about, but are you taking the journey out there? So, guess what? Christ is not reigning. God has given us authority to reign, and we have to reign. You have the authority to do that. Now, what's the second thing we also have to do? We're reigning in this life. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says that we're reigning on earth. And this scripture says you're reigning in life. Many of us think that we got to reign when Jesus comes back. Let me tell you this. All of us will go, we're in. Okay? All of us will go, we're in. But here's the thing about that. But I don't believe if he wants us to just kind of be saved for the sake of reigning, he would have killed us and taken us up there. He didn't do that. He came and left us here so that we can be restored to pre-Adamic times where we were reigning over things. So in other words, you and me have to reign where? In this life. We have to reign in this life. We have to reign in this life. You know, I'll share with the man of God recently, and we were talking about things. We said, you know what? We're kind of challenging each other about certain things. And we said, you know, if we are where we are today, and we are not building ourselves up, what future do we see? Let me say that again. If you're here today and you're not building yourself up, what future do you see? If you're a business owner, how many more people are successful in that business? If you're a teacher, what's the next level? If you're a trader, what have you learned about yourself in that place? Say to your neighbor, I will reign. I want you to put your right hand on your chest and just repeat after me. Say, Father, I believe you've given me abundance of grace. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I believe I will reign. I believe I am reigning. In your own words, I want you to talk to God what step, I did this yesterday, what step you are taking towards your enthronement. What is that area? Now, God's part, we know his own part. This is what you have said to us. This is what we have done. In your own way, just ask God, why is that place you're making a commitment today to take a step towards? You have to reign in this life. Not tomorrow, not next day. Jesus is not going to reign for you. Don't wait for Jesus to hear the sound. God has given you everything. The reason some of us are not receiving is because we have not started walking. Everything. Robo se elibra ekushanta. Everything. Sometimes we take a step forward, then the clarity comes. What is that step forward you're going to be taking from today? What is that step forward you're going to be taking from today? What is that one thing? Lord God, I thank you in Jesus' name. I don't know if you have a pen or paper or pencil. Please put it down there and say, I made this commitment to God today that I'm going to take this step. What is that step is? Now, we've asked, grace is abundant for you. We also said, what else is abundant? We said, what? His righteousness is abundant. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. While you're writing that, what is that step you just committed to God that you want him to help you with? I want you to write it down. I want you to put it in a place. Take that step. Because here's the thing. We have to bridge that gap for that journey. We got to get forward. We've got to be better than we came in here. We've got to be better every single day. What is that step we're taking? And let's put it right down there in this life. Hallelujah. Marush ebekusa. I said the same thing to God, and I'm sticking to my part of it. I said, God, Lord, I know your grace is abundant. I know you've made me clean, and so I'm taking this step moving forward. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be what? Sin for us, so that we might become what? the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God. You have been made righteous. Don't let the devil deceive you again. You have been made what? Righteous. Say to yourself, say, I have been made righteous. When the enemy comes in and says, do you know what you did last summer? Says, I have been made righteous. Say, I have been made righteous. Says, agree. Yeah, I did that. But that was the old me. See, Jesus does not cover sins. He cleanses sins. He washes them away. He doesn't cover them. He washes them away. That's why it says you're a new creature. And all things have been passed away. And all things become new. Hallelujah. Bow down your heads for a moment. If you're